This week, the scriptures deal with Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, on top of the mountain, and Adam and Eve's temptation in the Garden of Eden. In both cases, the people are tempted with having all power and all knowledge like God. In Jesus' case, he rejected the temptations, allowing him to continue his journey as a human, although one who followed God's lead better than the rest of us, better than all of us who more closely resemble Adam and Eve, I'm afraid. As Dave Davis, the pastor of Nassau Presbyterian Church in New Jersey, reminds us, our biblical support for the practice of Lent comes from these three gospel stories in Matthew, Luke, and Mark, and Mark and Luke, of the temptation of Jesus, the 40 days of wilderness, where he's tempted by the devil, Satan, the advocate against God, sort of like the attorney on the other side. For Jesus, the trial comes as the tempter suggests he turn stones into bread, that he leap from the top of the temple into the arms of angels, and that he would receive all the world's splendor if he just worships Satan rather than God. The Lord's response, Jesus' response to each of the three temptations, is a quote from the book of Deuteronomy. One does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, Deuteronomy 8:3, I think. Do not put the Lord your God to the test, Deuteronomy 6, that's from the sixth chapter, and worship the Lord your God and serve only him, also from the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. The Deuteronomy quotes don't come by coincidence. The wilderness experience of Jesus echoes the people of Israel in the wilderness after Moses took them out, led them out of Egypt, 40 days, 40 years. The trial of hunger in the wilderness, putting God to the test in the wilderness, falling down to worship something, someone other than God in the wilderness. The gospel account of the temptation of Jesus reverberates with the story of the people of God and their season of complaint in the wilderness, with manna from heaven and water from a rock, a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, tablets, the golden calf, 40 years, 40 days. When Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, it wasn't his morality that was being tested. The trials tossed his way have little to do with the fleshy side of life, the seedier side of being human. It's more about Jesus in the wilderness pointing us to the history of God and God's people, embodying what it means to be in relationship with God. The temptation of Jesus in the wilderness strikes at the very heart of the identity of God's people. The lure, the trial, the struggle, the battle. What's at stake is the wisdom it takes to be the people of God when you are in the wilderness. We often deal with the temptation parts of the narrative, I think, and there are a lot of hymns and things we sing in Lent that deal with that. But I don't think we deal enough with the wilderness into which we are led or forced, as Jesus was, or even which we voluntarily enter. So today I'd like us to think about some of those wilderness times which occur in all of our lives and how we get through those times. First, let's look at the times when we get thrust into the wilderness by outside events or outside beings. As Dill mentioned last week, many Central Americans have to escape criminals and gangs and threats and are forced out of their communities, out of their countries, into a scary and often expensive passage to the U.S. They are in the wilderness times, not knowing if they'll make it alive, not knowing if they'll get to their family in El Norte. They're often literally in the wilderness, and they cross rough terrain, often on foot. Others, like many in Syria, have had their homes and cities bombed and must get out, going into the wilderness of boat travel or foot travel to escape to a yet unknown location. And these stories were very familiar in other ways to those in Jesus' time. The Israelites had often been chased into the wilderness, and the stories of the Exodus, the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities were very real and very present to them and for them in a Roman Empire that chased them around quite a bit too. So we have the wilderness times of the immigrant, the dispossessed, which we need to remember and bring along with us even during this season of Lent. Another wilderness time, which we don't choose, is the time when a very close family member is suddenly terribly ill, and we find ourselves in ICU or hospice care setting, praying for God's strength as we deal with the horrible changes we have to deal with. Hospitals and, yes, soldiers losing friends on a battlefield deal with this sudden wilderness time of sadness and terrible disruption. And how much it's changed, isn't it, when one person comes and sits with us, another family member or a friend or someone from the church, and we are not in it alone anymore, and we can tell our story and feel the comfort of someone else. Another wilderness time is when someone's dealing with the demons of addiction and must face the demons to get out of the wilderness. A friend, well-educated, with medical training, found herself addicted to opiates after a knee replacement surgery and fought off the addiction with 12-step programs and the support of a caring family. But the wilderness time is something she constantly deals with, and she has to keep from returning to the demons. Then there's the wilderness of job loss and the pain of the search for new employment, something sometimes involving moving to a new location. The superintendent of TUSD, Ray Sanchez, is dealing with that time right now, as is one of our own family who's an assistant superintendent who lost a job when another new school board was elected and decided to clean house of everyone at the top. The wilderness times often involve this involuntary relocation to a new city or new country. I'm reminded of our three daughters moving from continent to continent, from state to state as military brats, entering a new school setting, having to make new friends, learning new accents. I mean, when you move from D.C. to southern Georgia, and then to in the U.S., southern Georgia, and then to Germany, those are different accents. Even for the most extroverted of us, those times can be very difficult. And most recently, many were dragged into the wilderness times after the elections, and everything they expected to happen not happening. It's been hard for many people, on both sides of the aisle, I might add, including all of those affected by changed policies or muddled policies or changed leaders. But what about the other wilderness times, the times when we go willingly into the wilderness, when we seek out the quiet spaces or the new spaces, either in nature or inside ourselves? These two are something worth looking at, I think, in this season of Lent. I've had a number of retired military friends, including my buddy retired chaplains, after they finished their service, seeking out the comfort of the wilderness. Some have made the pilgrimage of the Camino de Santiago in Spain, traveling as pilgrims in search of new meaning, allowing a wilderness time to give them transition from one part of their lives to another. Others have thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail in a year, letting both God's creation and the challenges of a difficult hike help them find a new direction in their lives. And I have one friend, in fact, who had PTSD after about 3 years in Iraq, surprise, and he hiked first himself and now has started a group to help other wounded warriors. And in the hiking, which sometimes can be a scary thing in military operations, but in the hiking with buddies, they come through and are strengthened and renewed. Others of us simply like to hike the desert trails and the mountains around Tucson, seeking God's comfort and peace in the physical action. And for some, our mini wilderness back here behind the parking lot, when it is finished and becomes our great labyrinth, will now provide the wilderness and the sanctuary we need. For many, we venture into the wilderness by training for a new occupation or learning a new language or moving to a new place even later in life. It's never easy to give up the old, but this commitment to the unknown can turn into a wonderful new beginning. For Jesus, his journey into the wilderness was perhaps both forced and voluntary. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. But there is also the understanding that Jesus, led by the Spirit, went in the wilderness to understand more of what God wanted from him, of who he was to become. After all, he was following the lead of John the Baptist, who had sought the wilderness, and of Moses, who had been forced out of Egypt, but also sought the wilderness as a place for his people to be free. And in all these biblical cases, the wilderness times were the ones remembered forever, the ones commemorated every year in the Seder, when the people present, along with those thousands of years ago, are led out of the wilderness. In every wilderness time, there's also the experience of finding ourselves, of finding other people to help us, of finding more about our relationship with God. For during our times in the wilderness, we're often more aware than at other times of the help we receive from friends and family and our church community. In the times of our deepest wilderness, we're so grateful for comfort and for companionship. For even the most introverted among us know that, as we say here often, we need other people to survive and to thrive, as we say here each week. In all of these wilderness times, we have a heightened sense of our need for the presence of God, shown to us in other people, and sometimes directly revealed to us in the comfort we receive from our sometimes hurried prayers. The wilderness times strengthen us. Whether we were thrust in the wilderness or chose to go into the wilderness, but we're only able to get through them and use them if we come out of the wilderness together, as Jesus did with God's Spirit, to seek immediately disciples and then go among the throngs of people. And as we do as a community of faith, our time of Lent is the time of realizing that we're never alone in the wilderness times, but together with a community of faith and friends and family who share our load, and together with the Lord who leads us to comfort others in the future. In his name, let's go on this journey. Amen.